Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Isn't it nice to see the sunshine? You get any wind down your way? A little bit, a little bit. Someone said it was windier than a preacher on a Sunday morning. I don't know who they were talking about. Nice to have you here. School has begun. All those teachers are excited about all those young hearts. Do you remember when you, the first day of school, when you used to go? The stomach was kind of excited with those butterflies and bubbles and wondering who's going to be there and what should we wear and how do we look and will I sleep in that day? No, that was never a problem. Anyway, just like it is for those students, it's kind of like us. Our veggie stand is closed. Our Saturday evening service is finished. Fall is starting to happen. Colors on the trees are coming. Our gardens are being harvested. Almost new beginnings. I like living in Minnesota, don't you, Dale?
Amen.
Amen. I like talking to people who are a little hard of hearing because they really shout it out. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment and say hello. Oh, yeah, I knew we had to greet each other so the last ones could sneak in unobtrusively. Yeah, yeah. Nice to have you here. Welcome. Couple of announcements. We've got a sign-up sheet on one of the bulletin boards on the kitchen wall going into the kitchen for people who can volunteer to do coffee. Well, no one signed up today, so you know what? I mean, that coffee fellowship is every bit as sacramental as anything else we do in the church, but today we're not going to have it. We will invite everyone to join us at this sacrament. Everyone's invited at the table of the Lord. But we have volunteers who sign up for the kitchen. No coffee today, so if you want to go in and visit and sit down and whatever, fine. But otherwise, you get to the cafes early, and you're going to make that kickoff for the Vikings, right, Dale? Okay, no problem, though. Another thing is, on the first Sunday of the month, we pass around the blessing boxes. And blessing boxes are, if you've been blessed and want to share with God, thank you for your many blessings. That's what that blessing box, over and above your general offerings. With that money, we use to make some improvements around here. There's a few things that are listed in the bulletins that we need, but this morning, as I read the headlines, we're supposed to get colder and more snow than we did last year, and we need a snow thrower. And last year, over at the parsonage, the snow finally got so heavy on the storage unit where I keep my tiller and whipper and hoses and, you know, all that outdoor stuff, that the roof sank in, and we need a storage unit too. So our blessing box, I mean, I'm just pushing that. Other people see other needs in the church, but that's what that's for, those little over and above things. So if you can help out with that, that would be great. Last but not least, we're down to our last. Usually we invite people to bring coffee cans when we change time. We're down to our last can of decaf, which, well, it's not good for church because it puts people to sleep. That's why I like the regular. Anyway, if you want to give a little early to the coffee, I don't like churches that charge or put bucks out for coffee. I think everybody should come and have coffee and sit down and visit without feeling obligated to put in a nickel. So that's what we do here anyway. One last note, I visited our friend Darwin and Janine down in the hospital this week, and Darwin, they live right in the moment, and Darwin's esophagus is closed off because of so much radiation, so he's being fed IV, and then he developed a bacteria, so they're giving him some kind of medicine to kill the bacteria off. But they live right in the moment. They live in the now. And their faith is strong. They trust God. They put themselves in His hands. But if you could remember them in your prayers, I know they'd appreciate that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we gather on this beautiful September morning. We are ever mindful of your presence in our lives. Your Spirit moves and works in the world and in our hearts. Today especially, we'd invite that Spirit to draw us close to you. Allow us to sit at your feet and experience your wisdom and your joy and the peace that you promise. As we begin a new fall season, help us to appreciate the many blessings you have granted to us, especially allowing us to live in this place called Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota. So send your Spirit, stir our hearts, fill us with your spiritual food as we gather at your holy table. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 759, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful judge and Savior.
Amen.
Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, trusting in God's mercy and love. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. Generous and faithful God, we confess to you all the ways, known and unknown, that we reject and undermine your steadfast love. Though you made us your people, we treat strangers with suspicion. Though you forgave our debts, we collect without mercy. Yet we are quick to pass judgment on others. Have mercy on us, O God, and remember your promise to us, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Through the living word, Jesus Christ, God forgives you your every debt, your every sin, and gives you a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of the day. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our choir to sing their praises.
I call to you. The first reading today is from Romans chapter 11, verses 8 through 14. The obligation of Christians is to love one another and so fulfill the heart and goal of the law. Clothes make the person as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and live today in light of the future God has in store for us. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in revelling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The psalm today is Psalm 119. Where you see the bold print, please respond. And where you see the R, please use the refrain: I desire the path of your commandments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teaching. I shall keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to unjust gain. I desire the path of your commandments. Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way. Fulfill your promise to the servant, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments. By your righteousness enliven me. I desire the path of your commandments. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 13th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 18th chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus offers practical advice to his disciples on how individuals and the church as a whole should show wrongdoers their need for repentance. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of You, 754.
Jesus, the very thought of you,
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a wonderful preacher and storyteller named Tony Campolo. He's a professor of theology at a small university in Philadelphia. One day he was going to work. He wandered by a homeless person. This guy was coming toward him. He describes this man as a dirty, filthy bum who was covered in soot from head to toe. You couldn't believe how messed up he was, says Campolo. He had this big beard, and in his beard was dried food stuck there. And as he approached Tony, the man held out a cup of McDonald's coffee and said, "Mister, you want some of my coffee?" And Campolo looked at this dirty, filthy person standing there and said, "Thanks, but that's okay," and walked by. Now, Campolo wants to live like Jesus. And the minute he passed by this downtrodden man, he thought to himself, you know, that was wrong. So he turned around and said, "Excuse me, I would like some of your coffee." And he took the coffee and he sipped it out of the cup and gave it back to the homeless man. I see on some of your faces that you're already a little squeamish by this story. But Campolo said to the man, "Well, you're being a little generous today. How come you're being so generous?" And Campolo said he didn't, the guy didn't hesitate. He says, "Well, because the coffee's especially good. And I think when God gives you something good, you should share it with others." Well, Campolo didn't know what else to say, so he said, "Can I give you anything?" He was thinking about $5 or $10 from his wallet to help the guy down the road. And the soot-covered man says, no, that's okay. And then he turned around and said, "Yeah, you can give me something." He says, "I changed my mind. There's something you can give me. Would you give me a hug?" Well, as he looked at that guy standing in front of him, Campolo was secretly hoping that he would settle for $5 instead. But the man put his arms around Tony, and Tony put his arms around this man. Homeless as he was, dirty as he was, Campolo standing in his suit and tie, and this homeless man in his filthy garb, and they hugged each other in the street, and Tony said, you know, when he was giving this guy a hug, he had a strange awareness that he wasn't hugging a bum, he was hugging Jesus. Now, loving and hugging are not necessarily the same thing. We all know that. A hug can be an expression of love, no question about that. But love is at the heart of the gospel. That is at the heart of everything we say and everything we do, everything Jesus said, everything he did. In fact, love, says St. Paul in our Romans text today, is the fulfillment of the law. The commandments, he says, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, or whatever other commandment there might be, he contends are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't harm your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Of course, Paul is just echoing the words of Jesus. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this, says Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law that's written in all the Old Testament and all the New Testament and the prophets hang on these two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. So let's consider a few moments what St. Paul is saying to us about this passage on love. It has some serious implications about who we are as Christians. First of all, it's important that we who are Christian note that the command to love doesn't negate the law. It fulfills the law. Jesus made it clear when he was talking about it. He says in the 5th chapter of Matthew, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." This is very important in today's world. There's a clear determination on the part of many people, even some in the church, to say that the old moral code is obsolete now. It doesn't fit in with today. But Paul lists some of the commandments that Moses gave. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Jesus came, didn't come to do away with these laws at all. He came to fulfill these laws. So what does all that mean? Jesus wasn't a legalist. He didn't keep rules just for the sake of keeping rules. And some of us do keep rules just for the sake of keeping rules. In fact, he did away with some of the petty rules. I remember a story on the Sabbath day. He and his disciples came in, didn't wash their hands. The rule was purification rites. And the scribes and Pharisees confront him. How come you don't keep the law? Jesus did away with some of those things that were hurting people more than helping them. That didn't mean that every part of the law is going to be obsolete, that he was doing away with the law. Laws like do not commit adultery, don't steal, don't murder, don't covet, will never be obsolete. They will always be a part of us because our faith, Christian faith, has to do with relationships, relationship to God and relationship with others. These laws help us get along as fellow human beings. It gives us community. When God gave the children of Israel the commandments, it was a gift to them to help them get along. God had their best interests in heart when he gave them the Ten Commandments. Remember the story, 800,000 men, not included women and children, are given freedom from slavery. They're out in the, and they were told when to wake up, when to go to bed, when to eat, what job they had to do. And they made a mess of their lives. Moses prays, God, you got to help me. And on the mountain, God gives them the Ten Commandments. It's a gift. You follow these rules, you'll get along. Love fills the law with purpose and meaning. God loved his people, Israel. He gave them these laws to help them get along. On the opposite side of things, law that's separated from love, that's divorced from love, is cruel and dangerous. If you watch movies or television, they will take a religious person who's devoid of love and compassion. And that religious person usually is in a puts them in a bad, bad light. They're all too common in the church. We live by the law, and it comes off as harsh and cruel. Law without love comes off as harsh and cruel. And they hurt the cause of Christ because we keep the law, but we don't love each other. Several years ago in his book, The Christian Salt and Light Company, the professor, Haddon Robinson, gave a stunning example of law that's divorced from love, that's separated from love. Told the story of the late Joe Bailey, who wrote for Time magazine. Bailey once visited some German Christians who had been devoted soldiers in the German army during World War II. Two of them had been put up for promotion to become second lieutenants in the Nazi army. The commandant told them that he would give them the promotion if they fulfilled one condition, that they join the officers' club. And that meant that being a member of the officers' club on weekends, they would have to go to the dance club. And some of those weekend dance club things would get a little bit wild and rather permissive in behavior. So these young soldiers refused the invitation because of their Christianity. They believed that dancing was wrong. It led to and promoted sexual looseness. And sexual looseness led to immorality, and so they didn't want to participate because of their Christian values. And so because of these convictions, they turned down their promotion. Now, some of us might think that this is an example of old-fashioned legalism, not dancing, because they were Christians, you know. Some of you were raised. You couldn't dance. You couldn't play cards. You couldn't go to the show. As Christians, that's legalism. That's what's happening here. Other people might admire their conviction. They stood up for what they believed. Because of their convictions, they turned down their promotion. Remember, these were Nazis, even though they were professing Christians. And so as Bailey interviewed these guys, found out about their military careers, they were assigned to the death camps, where thousands, tens of thousands, were stuffed into ovens and killed. Even though they didn't directly participate in the slaughter, they knew what was going on. They never voiced any protest, never tried to do anything to stop the atrocities. And so when Bailey talked to them later, interviewed them afterwards, years later, they looked back on their experience with no regret. They were convinced they had made the right decisions. They were glad they hadn't conformed to the social pressures and joined in the dancing, turned down their promotions. In their eyes, that was an act of righteousness, doing what is right, following their Christian faith. At the same time, they expressed no guilt over remaining silent when the thousands were burned in ovens. This act of conformance to social pressure didn't seem to violate their Christian consciences in any way. That's scary. That kind of legalism can be cruel and dangerous. We see that kind of legalism going on in, around the world in different religions today. An atheist named Steven Weinberg put it like this. He says, good people do good things, and bad people do bad things. But to get good people to do bad things, that takes religion. Think about that for a moment. It'll break your heart. Good people do good things, and bad people do bad things. But to get good people to do bad things, that takes religion. Philosopher Blaise Pascal, French, said it this way. He said, men never delight in doing evil as much as if they can do it for religious reasons. Love isn't a negation of the law. Love saves the law from mindless cruelty. Law without love can be demonic. Please tell that to people who persecute others in the name of Christ because they're of a different religion or a different color of skin or a different worldview or a different sexual orientation or whatever it might be. When we follow the law without love, it can do some damaging, bad things. They're doing the work of Satan, basically, not of God. Paul says love has to live first in anything we say, in following any laws or rules. Huh? Bottom line, here's the crux of the matter in the message today. When our lives are summed up on the day of judgment, we're not going to be rewarded on how well we kept the commandments. Though commandments are important, our lives will be judged on how well we loved. That's what life is all about, love. One last story. A recent sermon, a pastor named John Ortberg told about an 8-year-old boy who was kind of nerdy, clumsy, overweight, chubby kid. Kind of reminded me of me. My nickname when I was a kid was Butterball. One time a group of bullies were chasing him and calling him Fat Freddy. And he ran toward the home of an elderly widow he knew was a friend of the family. He was praying that this widow was home because those bullies were going to get him and he knew bad things were going to happen. Sure enough, she was home. He says it greatly increased his faith in God because his prayer was answered. This woman was home. Well, Freddy's full name was Fred Rogers. Remember him, Fred Rogers, as in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Ended up becoming a Methodist pastor. The fact that this elderly woman took him in and gave him safety from the bullies helped him talk about the importance of being a part of a neighborhood where you know your neighbors and care for your neighbors. That was so important to Fred Rogers. Well, Fred Rogers has really led an amazing life. He'd wake up every day about 5:30 in the morning, he would say his prayers and read some scripture passage and sing a hymn or two, and then he'd go swimming. He'd do this every day, and then he'd weigh himself on a scale. He said that he tried to weigh 143 pounds every day, and he did, every day of his life. When he got to be an adult, 143 pounds. 143 was his favorite number. Do you know why he stayed at 143 and why 143 was his favorite number? Because it takes one letter to say I, four letters to say love, three letters to say you. I love you. Love is everything. Love your neighbor. Love your God is everything. Paul believed that. That's why he's talking about it. He's giving us ways to find peace and joy in our lives if you follow these things that he wrote today. Paul believed that love was everything. Love is not a negation of the law. Law lived within the protective confines of self-giving love produces a life of grace and beauty. Law has to be lived with love. When you're disciplining your kids, when you look at all the laws in our books, it has to be lived within love, or it has the chance and potential to be cruel and dangerous. At the end of the day, when the value of our lives is summed up, we're not going to be judged on how well we kept the commandments, though that's important. We're going to be judged on how well we loved. Something for us to ponder today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Let's join in singing 661. Please rise. Let us join in the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God of love, your church is a place of relationship. Give us understanding to care for you and each other with our whole hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, your creation is a precious gift. Turn our hearts to share its resources wisely rather than in selfish gain. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, your desire for us is peace. Lead us along paths of justice and give us delight in living with honor and loving our neighbor. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, your ways are goodness and life. Free us from those things that create fear and dread, loneliness and heartache, pain and disgrace. We especially ask your presence to be with those who are hurting physically these days. Watch over Darwin and Janine. Be with Joyce Reimer. Bless Lee Forrester as he recovers from surgery. Shine your face upon Mary England and all those in our lives who need your healing touch, Lord. We ask your holy angels surround them and protect them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, you gather us around your word, your font, your table. Teach us to be a community of grace and witness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Remind us that as we seek to follow you and immerse our lives in your presence, at the end of the day, you promise joy in our hearts and peace in our souls. Watch over our loved ones this day, wherever they find themselves. Keep them in your loving care. Be with all those students who started school this week and be with their teachers. Grant them wisdom and allow them to use their gifts that this world might be a better place. God of love, your promise to us is resurrection. Confirm in us that promise as we remember those who have died trusting in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers and whatever else you see that we need. In the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended to heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
And so we gather at this table of freedom. Jesus at his Last Supper with his disciples on Passover Thursday took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink saying, "This cup is the communion for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Again, all are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know, and I'll be glad to serve you. Today we will use intinction, dipping the bread into the wine or the grape juice. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. Please be seated. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on the top of page 6 in your bulletins. Let us pray. God of mercy, we give you thanks for seating us at your table and serving us with the food of eternal life. We who once were dead are now living members of your Son. Awakened by the breathing of your Spirit, send us out to awaken others to the mystery of your love, which is revealed to all the world in the one who came to give himself away, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, Jesus Christ our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 742.